Blog Talk Radio.
I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful.
I am grateful for the things
that you have done. Look at them and tell them, yes, I'm grateful.
I'm grateful for
the victory that we've won. Tell them I could go on and on.
About your works.
Because I'm grateful.
Praise you, Lord.
Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Grateful.
Amen. Amen. We are definitely grateful, grateful, grateful. First, give honor to God who is the head of our life. Welcome, welcome, welcome to War Gospel Connection. It is Women's Day Thursday, and I'm excited to hear this word from another my sister in Christ, a phenomenal woman of God. Definitely giving a shout out to all the country that's listening in. Get your pen and papers together because she has a word just for you from the Lord. Woman of God, are you there?
Good morning. I am here. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Tar. It is, the floor is yours. I'm going to mute. Let the Lord use you. I have my pen and paper ready, and I am excited.
Amen. Amen. Good morning to all God's people this morning. Good morning. May the Lord kiss you a sweet kiss this morning. May he blow you a sweet kiss, and may he embrace you. Feel the embrace of the Father on this morning. Well, we have failed to just understand that God is love. We need to understand God is love. I know the world is in such chaos right now, but we're going to trust in the Lord this morning. We're going to lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we're going to acknowledge him. So I pray that this word that God has placed in me resonates with your spirit man this morning, wakes something up in your spirit man this morning, causes your mind to think, causes your heart to think, causes your spirit man to react to what God has for us and in store for us in this next season. I just bless every one of you this morning. And if we can, before we go into the word that God has given, that we honor him with prayer. So Father God, this morning, our beloved Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for your kindness, your love, your protection, and your mercy and grace, God. We thank you, Father, that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us, God. And in such a time as this, God, we know, God, that you are with us, Father God. So we trust, God, that this word today, Lord God, will feed your sheep on today, Lord God, will feed those, Lord God, that have been hungry for a word this morning, Lord God, that have been hungry all week for a word, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that it would nourish us this morning, Lord God, that it would bring us back to that place in you, Lord God, that it would remind us of those things that are important to us, Lord God, and to those reminders of things that are not as important as you, Lord, and your works, Lord. So we thank you on this morning, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, would feed our souls. In the name of Jesus, we praise and we thank you. So as my dear sister, and again, I am Pastor Lectataria, I thank God for each and every one of you this morning that are listening, wherever you are listening from. May the Lord meet you right where you are this day. But as I begin to just go through the message, and sometimes, you know, God doesn't give you a word until the 99th hour. And so that was kind of such the case as this. And God gave me a word from 1 John, the second chapter. And some may be familiar and some may need to refresh. And some may have never heard it before. But this chapter is a chapter that let me and reminded me that this is the day that we are living in. This is the time that we are living in. And 1 John, the second chapter, reminds us of that. And so if you have not read that chapter, I encourage you to go back and read it. If you haven't read it in a while, if you've never read it, go and read this chapter, and it would definitely explain the revelation of the Lord in this time. But I'm going to start here at the first verse. Let me start at the first verse this morning. In the first verse of 1 John chapter 2, it reads, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and have heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be filled. This is the message that which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we have lied." Can I say that again? "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we have lied, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and truth is not in us. Can I stop there just for a moment? God gave me a message on that, just in those passages, in those particular scriptures. And he says, are we allowing God to truly deal with us? Are we saying that God, whatever it is in us that's nothing like you, that doesn't represent you, that doesn't speak to who you are, whatever that is, Lord, show me, reveal it to me so that I can get it right. Are we truly asking God that? Or are we just walking around ignoring the fact that we have issues and we have things in us that's not pleasing to God, that's not like God, that's not of God, and we're walking around saying, oh, I'll deal with that later. How can we become more like Christ unless we deal with those things exponentially, expeditiously, like as soon as he reveals those things, as soon as it comes up in our conscious man, which is the Holy Spirit, as soon as God reveals it to us, why are we not dealing with those things right then and there, right? I have a great example of that, and I'm going to tell my business. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and there's things that I have disciplined her about, or that I have jumped on her about, or so say, have said something to her about. When I say jumped on, said something to her about, and the Lord said, but that was you. And I have to literally laugh at myself and say, God, I thank you. Thank you for showing me myself. Because he will allow you to see yourself even when you are correcting your own children. Be real with you. He's reminding us that we still have to give grace where grace is due. And in those moments for her, there's a lot of grace that I have to give my daughter. There's a lot of grace that I'm having to give others because God says, I gave you grace in that same area. So the grace that I've given you, why are you better than me? You are not better than me, so you must also give grace. I am not greater than God. I will never declare to be. All I want to be is like my father. That is my goal. Then he says, and we're saying, okay, well, I don't want to deal with that right now. So when is the right time to deal with it? When is the right time to get it right? When is the right time to stop doing certain things? Like, another example, when is the right time when God is giving you an unction in your spirit to do something or not do something or to cease doing an action or a thing? When is the right time to make that correction? When is the right time to obey? Right? When is the right time? God is revealing those things to you. He's telling your spirit, man, this is what I need you to correct. If you've asked God to show me myself, if you haven't asked God to show you yourself, he even still shows you yourself. So it's important that we, if we desire to be like Christ, that we then utilize the spirit man, the voice that is speaking to us, which is God, our Heavenly Father, speaking to us, telling us, get that together. Cease that act in that practice. Do what I'm asking and calling of you. Remember to give grace. Remember to have mercy on your brother, your sister, and your children. Amen. Another example. I stay on the journey of God to show me myself. I'm always asking God, show me my good, the ugly, the indifferent. And then guess what? I have expectation that the Lord would deal with me and say, now, you know what you just did wasn't right the other day. Or you know what you're doing right now. God will unction your spirit immediately. Talk about conscious, no. That's Jesus saying, get yourself together. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen, amen. God is so amazing. He's an awesome God, and I love him for all that he does. Let's move over to let's go to verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to have fellowship with Jesus. I want to know that when I'm in my quiet time and when I'm in my time with the Lord, that he's meeting me there, that we're fellowshipping with one another. But also I need, and it's an earnest desire and a consistent need for him to teach us and show us how to fellowship one to another. how to fellowship with each other, how to show each other compassion, how to prepare a table for even just in a place of fellowship, right? A table can mean just a point of saying, I want to bring you into a space where this is the Father that I serve. He is so loving. He is so kind. That's the table that I want to bring someone to, the table where I'm exampling and showing an example by the life I live of who the God is that lives in me, what is displayed outwardly. I want people to see what's displayed outwardly by the love that I have in me and our desire to fellowship with others to show them who that God is. The other piece, let me give you a point. Let's talk about love. Can we talk about love here? God is love. God is love. God is love. He's love. He's the agape love. In the Greek, that means brotherly love. But he is agape love. That means I love you, my sister. I love you, my brother. If you cannot have the love of Christ, I don't know how you can be who all God has called you to be. It's important that we continue to ask God to tailor us to the kind of love that he would have us to have, and that's his love that is displayed on the inside of us that comes then forth outward. That love, that's the kind of love that we want to have. The one that says, am I my brother's keeper? Am I the one that actually will be there for my brother and be there when they're having problems, be there to support them through my sisters, be there to support them through what they're going through? It's not to hear someone telling you, you know, I'm dealing with such and such, or I'm dealing with this certain situation, and you know, and it's a little heavy for me. And I'm like, well, you'll get over it. God will get you through it, girl. You're going to walk through that thing. Great. That's encouragement. That's awesome. That's a word for them. But in that moment of feeling despair and discouraged, they can't feel that love from you. They can't feel God's love in that moment of discouragement, right? So what they need is for us to come alongside them and really say, I am the one that's going to be here and walk with you through this thing. I am the one that's going to be here and be that continuous encouragement, because I'm going to check on you every day. And whatever it is that I can do for you within the will of God and the power of God that I have that he's given me, even if it is just to call you daily and check on you and say, hey, how can I help you? What can I do to help you? First, let us pray and go to the Father and ask for direction. That's number one. First, let us go to the Father and ask for comfort. That's number two. And then let us go to the Father and say, God, this is too heavy for me. This burden is too large for me. I know that you're my burden bearer. I know that, God. And so, God, I give this back to you. And so until that person has walked through that trial, it's okay. Let's be there for them. That's how you love. That's how true love is displayed. A love is not saying, oh, I love you today, have a wonderful day, and I don't check on you, what I know that you're going through. Or when God drops you in my spirit and I say, okay, I wonder how they're doing. No, that means God says, stop and pray for your brother or your sister. I dropped them in your spirit for a reason. Begin to pray. It's not to call them and ask them what's going on and then begin to gossip. It's about stopping hearing the voice of God and saying, God, I need to be praying. Lord, you've dropped them in my spirit, and immediately start praying. That's what that's for. When you hear that, when that happens with you, that is what that's for, that immediate point and moment to say, I've got to pray for my sister. Something's going on. I've got to pray for my brother. Something's going on. Let me begin to pray because the Lord dropped them in my spirit. Phone call. I'm sorry. I got 3 phone calls in one day saying, my sister, I'm praying for you. I don't know what's going on, but I'm praying for you. The other one says, I'm praying for you. The other one says, God dropped you in my spirit. I'm praying for you. And I'm like, well, what the heck is going on? I didn't have an issue at that particular moment, but God released them to pray for me for the battle that was ahead. And so it's in that moment, those moments, that we must be obedient to the voice of God when God says, stop what you're doing and pray for your brother or your sister. I have need of you to pray for them. And I thank God that they stood in the gap for me in prayer. I thank God that he thought enough of me to drop me in 3 different people's spirits on that day that were not even connected to one another. Because the battle ahead of me was great. I thank God for being victorious in those battles. But I couldn't see what God had shown them. And that was a need to pray for me. I'm always battling and praying for others as well. So I thank God that he thought enough of me to drop me in the spirits of my sisters, and they began to pray for me. So that's what God's love looks like. The other point is true. Deal with what is true about you and allow God to reveal and believe he can heal. Let's deal with those things that we don't want to deal with about ourselves. Let's begin to not push things to the back burner. Let's not begin to look at things and say, oh, well, I'll deal with that. That's not me. I'm not. Oh, that ain't me. I'm not worried about that. Mm-mm, that's not me. That's not my behavior. Mm-mm. But God is speaking that to yourself. He's speaking that to you. He's specifically saying, this is who I'm seeing in you. This is what I need you to get right. Believe that. If God is revealing it to you, then that's what he's showing you he needs you to correct. He needs you to go to prayer about those strongholds, those things that may have had you bound, that you're saying, I don't walk like that. Spirits of offense, in essence, excuse me, spirits of offense, spirits of rejection. We don't want to deal with those things because a lot of that we don't want to believe. That's our journey, and that's been our journey. It's time for us to look that thing in the face and say, I put the blood of Jesus on top of that. I'm looking that truth in the face, and I'm saying, I cancel that assignment of the enemy in the name of Jesus. That is not who I am. I trust and believe that God has revealed this to me so that it must die in the name of Jesus. Right? We have to deal with ourselves. We have to deal with the fact that we like foods that we shouldn't eat. That's the truth. Right? We have to deal with the issues of maybe we gossip. That's the truth. Deal with it. God is bringing it to you. Ask God to deliver you from it. We have to deal with those things that maybe we talk down on people. That's the truth. God is revealing that to you. Get it right. Those things are the things that we have to go before God and say, I lay this out to you, God, because I've asked you to show me myself. And in that moment, he begins to reveal who we see in the mirror. He begins to reveal those things who we see, but we don't want to deal with. And he's saying, I'm uprooting those things. You asked me to show you. You asked me to clean you out. You asked me to reveal. And that's what I'm doing. Now deal with it. Uproot it, reveal it, and deal. Right? Uproot it, reveal it, and deal with it. That's what we must do. We must get our houses in order, be in a righteous standing with God, get it right with our brothers, follow God's commandment most of all, repent and pray. That's what he gave us, to repent and pray. The third, John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 reads, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that we shall be, but what and who? But we know that when we, let me back up, the devil is a lie. I'm not going to get stumbled. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, and just as he is pure. So you see right there, it says God reveal when he is revealed in us. When God is revealed in us, he will begin to reveal us to ourselves. Amen. Because what he's showing us is I'm trying to reveal who I am, my pureness, my clarity, my pureness. I'm trying to reveal that to you. But the only way to reveal that, it's like the purity that God has in us has been pressed all the way down to the bottom of the junk that sits on top. So what God has to do is uproot all of that junk out of our spirit so that his purity can then be revealed. That means he's purifying us. And what he's doing is he's literally making us regurgitate that, just throw it out, right, in pure form, bombing it up. So that his pureness can rise up, can walk in it, that it's not just internal, but it's also external. So when people see you, they see the light of Jesus not only in you, but on you. And that's the important piece. We want people to see the light of Jesus upon us. We must also display the fruits of the Spirit. We've got to display the fruits of the Spirit. Once God cleans us up, And he begins to reveal ourselves, and we said, okay, let me deal with this stuff, God. Is this junk that God is showing me that I still have in me? Once he begins to really reveal those things and deal with those things, no longer do we have to feel like we're unworthy of carrying the fruits of the Spirit, because then we'll truly have the spirit of love, we'll truly have joy, we'll truly have peace, we'll truly know what it means and how to be in a long-suffering, be long-suffering. We'll truly know his kindness and his goodness, his faith, all of the fruits of the Spirit. And the biggest piece is we will truly have self-control. We'll truly have it. Honor God with the way that we live our lives. I just want to encourage everyone today. I didn't want to be long. I just wanted to share God's, the word that God gave me for his people today. Let's render ourselves unto God. Surrender fully. Give yourself to God. Ask God this day, show me myself, Lord. Anything in me that is not like you, take it out, God. If my eyesight is allowing my head and my mind to speak to me things that are not like you, show me immediately, God, so I can cancel it in the name of Jesus. The sooner we begin to recognize those things that are not of God, the sooner we can be like the fruits of the Spirit. The sooner we can be like Christ. The sooner we can walk in his fullness. The sooner the blessings that he truly has for us can come. The other piece he gave me was, my people is so enamored by the things of the world. When he says, I really need them to be enamored by me, by my presence, by me as that intangible thing, by me as that thing that they can have as everlasting gift, as everlasting. We're always in a reach for the big houses and the big cars and the money, but are we truly focused on the real gift, the real points of life success? Successful living to me is living like Jesus. That's successful living. And doing things for the kingdom. If we're asking God for the plenty, are we asking God for the plenty for selfish desires, or are we asking God for the plenty to plentiful the kingdom, to share to the kingdom, to give to the kingdom, to help and build God's kingdom? What are we really asking God for? Maybe we need to refocus what we're asking God for, what our desires are. Maybe we need to refocus what our desires are. Yes, he said to leave an inheritance for our children's children, right? The God that we serve is going to do that, but our focus has to go back to him. He is the source and the resource for all that we can ever ask for. He knows what we need. He always supplies. Have you ever had a point where God met a need right in the 99th hour? Have you ever had a need and God says, I'm going to send somebody to make a deposit into their account or buy their groceries a day or fill up their gas tank? Have you ever been that person that has been the recipient of that? And then have you ever been that person that has poured that out to someone else? It's about being that balance. And it's about showing God's love and receiving God's love. And God's love also comes with discipline and correction. And so as we continue to move throughout the day, the word from God is just to be true, to be loving, to be kind, to deal with yourself, show you yourself, reveal yourself to you, that God reveals you, and you deal with what God is giving you, and you begin to change your behaviors to meet the Spirit of God that he has placed in you, to meet and be that agape love, to meet and be the fruits of the Spirit. I just bless you all, and I pray that the word has blessed you today. I pray that God just continues to keep you and cover you. I pray that God then begins to reveal who those things are in those places in your life that may not be pleasing to God. I pray that God begins to reveal those things to you so that you can get it right with God, so that we can continue to get it right with God. We'll never be in a perfect place with God as far as who we are because we're human. But at the end of the day, God, we ask that you allow us to see ourselves, God, so that we can be more and more like you each day, God. We praise you for your purity that is within us, Lord God. And we praise you, Lord God, that as your purity rises up in us, all of the junk and gunk comes up out of us, Lord God. All of the old traditions are then revealed so that we can cancel those, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Those things that, those traditions or those things that weren't necessarily a God thing, but were rituals for our families because of our heritages, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that as we begin to walk in you, Lord God, that you would continue to cover us under your blood, Lord Jesus. And if there's anyone listening today, Lord God, that does not have a relationship with you, Lord God, I ask, Father God, that you begin to reveal who you are, Lord God, to them, Lord God. I ask that you forgive their sins, Lord God. I ask that you cleanse them, Lord God. I ask them that, Lord God, you show them, Lord God, that your son Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again on the third day, Lord God, in fulfillment of your scripture, Lord God, so that we would know that we have a Savior, Lord, that we have a Savior that you so graciously gave your children, Lord, that we are yet, Lord God, sinners, Lord God. But as we come to you, Jesus Christ, we believe and we accept you, Lord, that we become new creatures in Christ. So we thank you, Lord God, for every new creature that just even accepted you as their Lord and Savior on this line, Lord. And we praise you for your word, Lord God. And we pray that it is the meditation of our heart today, Lord, that we continue, Lord God, to walk in you, Lord God. We continue, Lord God, to receive the correction that you have for us, Lord God, that we can be more and more like you every day. In Jesus' mighty name, I thank you and I praise you.
Amen, amen. What a word. It's a different kind of relationship when you have somebody can feel you in the spirit and you don't know what's going to attack you ahead. That's love. That's agape love.
Amen. That's love. That's
real
it.
Love. You don't find that often where people will call and check on you just because not to be seen, but just to be in the background and make sure you're okay in spite of what you're going through. That's very hard to find. I thank you for that word this morning. Father, God, I ask you to give back what your daughter gave out for your people this morning. Bless her tremendously. Let her want for nothing in this season, Father God. Actually, everybody she encounters, they feel the love of you on her completely. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless her children, her grandchildren, her businesses, her books, everything that she touched. We ask for favor right now, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Pastor, let them know how they can contact you. If they want to hear a word from you, if they want to hear your music, or if they just want you to come out and speak, let them know how they can contact you so you can be connected.
Amen. Thank you for the opportunity today, again, to speak. I praise the Lord for you. So I can be reached. I'm on Facebook as Tari Malvo. It's my last name, M-A-L-V as in Victor, E-A-U-X. Or you can go on to my music page, which is Tari Music. It's M-U-Z-I-K. T-A-R-I-M-U-Z-I-K. You can also reach me at 337-888-4919. And also my email is UR8Outreach@outlook.com.
Amen, amen. And again, thank you so much for coming on and delivering the word, you know, delivering the word just like God wanted you to do.
Amen.
You guys, if you want to go back and listen to the replay, it's on Pastor Tari's page as well as mine, as well as the Abba House. Listen, this was a phenomenal word this morning. Go back, rewind it, and take notes, and you'll understand where she was coming from. Woman of God, you have a blessed day. Thank you again for accepting the call to come on here. I will be touching base with you later. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You enjoy your day as well. God bless.
You're welcome. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be right back with Worldwide Gospel Connection.
God will break you to position you, break you to promote you, and break you to put you in your right place. But when he breaks you, he doesn't hurt you. He doesn't. When he breaks you, he doesn't destroy you. He does it with grace. Anybody been gracefully broken where? Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, Father, tonight we're broken before you. Thank you for handling us with grace. Yeah. Ooh. Just lift your worship right there in this moment. Thank you. have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire. Come on, sing. In these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire.
Ask him.
Set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide. Pouring out my life gratefully.
Against your character.
I know we are torn. I know we are broken, but is, can you win? I came to tell somebody up in here tonight that there is something on the inside of you that's going to help you win in this season, and it's called a champion. You ought to open up your mouth and shout, I am a champion. Everything attached to you wins. I said everything attached to you wins. Can you point to your neighbor and tell them everything attached to you wins? Come on, let's just tell them everything attached to you wins. Now just tell them, say, it's your winning season.
It's your winning
season. You've got God to carry you. I realize that you can't say you are a winner but look defeated. I need you to get up out of your seat and high five 10 people across this room. Don't just stay at your row, tell them across the room that you will win. Come on, high five 10 people and tell them you will win. You will win. God don't work failures. God don't call you defeated. You are.
Hey family, I'm Pastor Torre.
I'm Pastor Sarah.
And listen, you're getting ready to hear an incredible word from the Lord. I believe it's going to bless you. I believe it's going to be timely. Do me a favor, share the message. If it moves you, share the message. And then also you have an opportunity to be a part of not only helping to spread this message, but to be a part of our outreaches. We're doing a lot of practical things to be a blessing to someone. So feel free, if God so moves you, to use the information here in the video, support what we're doing. We're being a blessing, not just people spiritually, we're being a blessing to people practically. We love you. Get into this message. It's going to change your life.
I'm going to be speaking out of Judges 16, verse 16. My subject, for those of you who like to take notes, is tightrope. Tightrope, and God willing, that's going to make more sense when this is all said and done. But I'm going to start in Judges 16 and 16, and my text begins. It says, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words. A little background. So this is Samson and Delilah, and you don't even have to be a Bible scholar to understand this. Samson is like the Popeye of the Bible, okay? The guy was strong, okay? But there was a secret to his strength, and this woman was trying to figure out the secret to his strength. And, you know, it's not nice to say that people are dull of wit, But Samson, strong as he is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And so this woman has tried, at this point in the text, she's tried three times to figure out what the secret is to his strength. And this moment is when she's going to finally get the answer from him. So verse 16, it begins and it says, "And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death." Come on, somebody knows what it's like to be vexed to death. "That he told her all his heart and said to her, 'No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her all that is in his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines." These are his enemies, the enemies who've been trying to figure out the secret of his strength. "She calls to the Philistines, saying, 'Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart.' So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head." Come on, dreadlocks. "Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." Spirit of the living God, we receive your presence. We receive that there is a nugget in this word. Perhaps we've already begun to see that you've been speaking to us in the worship. But Father, we believe that this is a divine moment for you to speak. And so, Father, I pray that you would make me the perfect vessel for this moment. That even in my imperfection, even in my insecurity, that you would make me perfect in this moment, because your oil, your grace, your anointing is going to flow through me. It's going to flow into Africa, your anointing. It's going to flow over to the East Coast. It's going to flow into the West Coast. It's going to flow into Brazil. It's going to flow into Australia, because your anointing, your grace, your word cannot be distanced by location, Father. But when it inhabits the earth, you said that it will not return unto you void. And so, Father, I pray that whoever this word is for will be open and empty enough to receive it, to stand in it, and to allow it to become flesh on the inside of them. God, I thank you so much that you are consistent in showing up and that you're going to do exactly that in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, PT has been speaking to us all the latter part of 2020 about the vision for 2021 for us as a church. First of all, I have to tell you, being a part of a church that has vision is something that we cannot take for granted. When our pastor is talking to God about who we are to be and how we are to navigate in the earth, God gave him a word, and that word was bridges. And so he's been talking to us about how the church is going to be a bridge, how we are going to be a bridge, how we're going to be meeting how we're going to be building a bridge that will allow us to overcome problems and to solve problems that have been taking place in the earth. And I've been meditating on that, because I have to tell you, when I heard that, I was so very excited about my opportunity to become a bridge. You see, when you receive a word, it's one thing to just receive it in the moment, but I know so many of you take notes and you say to God, "God, how do I apply this to my life?" And that's one of the things that I was doing. God, you've given me this mandate from my covering. You've given me this mandate from my pastor. You've given me this mandate from the community that I am a part of. And so, Father, I'm not going to sit back and watch someone else step into the word that you gave to all of us. God, I'm asking you, how do I respond to the word? That's something that we've got to get down in our spirit. When we receive a word, don't just be a hearer of a word of the word, but be a doer of the word. What is my response to the word that I received? And so I've been praying, God, if my role is to be a bridge, what is my responsibility and my response to that mandate? And as I was praying, I heard God saying, there are so many bridges connected to your name. I feel this for somebody. I don't know who you are. That God has ordained you to be a bridge in so many different areas, in your community, for your family, in your industry. He's going to make you a bridge. He's going to give you the ideas. He's going to give you the creativity. He's going to give you the vision connected with how you're going to build this bridge. And I felt that for me as well. And one of the things that he told me, the first thing I want you to master, though, are the bridges that exist down on the inside of you. You see, sometimes we focus so much on the bridges we want to build outside of us. I want to bridge faith and fashion. I want to bridge nonprofit services with the people in my community. I want to bridge ministry into the culture. We focus so much on the outer impact of our bridge, but I heard God saying that we're working on the outside without focusing on the inside sometimes. And I want you to make sure that while you're solving the problems on the outside, that you're also paying attention to the bridges that you need to have on the inside. I wish I could preach it the way that PT preached it, but in the message when he was telling us about the infrastructure of the bridge, he was telling us about the bottom part of the bridge that isn't even seen, and that is the area that is most important because it is what allows us to have weight on us. And so if you will allow me for this Thursday night Activate, I would like to draw your attention to the bridges or lack thereof that are required for our insides. When we talk about bridges, this is where our discipline and our integrity and how we're going to show up in the world begins to play a role, because we cannot go from where we are to who we are supposed to be in God without building a bridge. We can't go from bitterness to forgiveness unless we build a bridge. We can't go from angry and easily angered into someone who's patient and kind unless we're building a bridge. God, I know where I am supposed to be, but how do I build a bridge from where I am to where I am headed? And I heard God tell me in my prayer time and in my study time that we have to see the connection between our choices and where we are headed. Our choices are the bricks and the tools that build the bridge to where we are headed. I can tell where you're headed by the choices you're making today. Your choices are building a bridge. You may not know that, or maybe we don't think about it in the moment because we see the choice as something that is singular and isolated. But the reality is that every choice is laying a brick towards a bridge, and you have to ask yourself, do I like the bridge of where this is headed? It's not just a hey, big head text. It's a choice. And me responding to that text message is a choice for me to be entangled in something that I know is less than me. It's not just a one-time thing. I'm building a bridge, and we have to ask ourselves, am I going to like who's on the other side of this bridge? Is God going to rejoice on who's on the other side of the bridge? It's not just one night. It's a bridge. I'm building something. Each time I make a decision, I'm building something. Each time I pick up my phone and I ingest information, I'm building something. Each time I read my word, I'm building something. There are some people who have made some decisions about 2021, and in making those decisions, they are making different choices because they recognize that the only way I'm going to get to who God has in mind in 2021 is if I make a decision today. I can't postpone it. I have to make a choice today that's going to get me there. I want to become closer to God, so I don't just turn on church as something that I have to do as my to-do list. I dig into the word because I want to get closer to him. My choices are building a bridge. Come on, somebody. If you have made a decision that you are going to be building this bridge, I want you to type in the comments, I'm building something. I'm building something. I'm building something. My choices are different. I'm not the same person who I used to be. My choices are building something you've never seen before. Yes, I'm acting a little funny, but my choices are building something. Yes, I had to isolate myself, but my choices are building something. No, I don't have time for that any longer because my choices are building something. What are your choices building? My choices are building a bridge to who I am supposed to be. My choices are building a bridge to who God has called me to be. My choices are going to build that ministry. It's not just going going to happen because you got on Instagram. Your inside choices are going to determine how you get there. I'm building something in my marriage. I got to make a different choice. I'm building something in my business. I got to make a different choice. I'm trying to buy that house. I got to make a different choice. My choices are building a bridge. God told me responsibility is a part of my mandate for 2021. So the area where I was being irresponsible, I'm making a different choice because I'm bridging it to responsibility. The area where I didn't have integrity, I'm communicating on a different level because I'm trying to build some integrity. So you have to understand that we're not just going to wake up and have it. We're going to have it because we built it. We're going to have it because we took the word that God said and we started applying it to our decisions. We started saying, God, what do I need to change in order to build? That's what we need to start asking God, is what do I need to change about how I'm functioning today so that I can build something that has your glory on it tomorrow? What do I need to change about how I engage so that I can build something that has your glory on it tomorrow? God, teach me how to build wholeness. I'm single and I'm lonely, but I need you to teach me how to build wholeness in this season because I want to show that it's better to be lonely and it's better to be single and by yourself than it is to settle for something that doesn't look like you. So God, show me how to build my life as a single person. Show me how to build my marriage. God, show me how to raise these children. I don't want them to be broken in the same way I was broken. I'm trying to build something that I've never seen before. So God, if you give me the words, I'll let my choices lay the bricks and I'll end up where you decided, because you are the chief architect of the bridge I'm trying to build inside of me. And so when we come to that realization and we allow that to become our mandate, we recognize that the connection between our choices and the bridge that we are building are going to determine our destination. There are some choices that we have made that we wish we could undo. If we're being honest here, I've made some choices that built a bridge that now feels like an island. Yeah. Yeah, you're saying, Pastor, I understand what you're saying about choices leading you to destinations. But now the place that I'm on, it feels like an island, as in I don't know how to move from here. Regret would tell us that what you need to do is go back to where you started. But faith tells us that if you feel like you're on an island and you're ready to move from where you are to where you know you're supposed to be in God, that maybe we should stop looking for a bridge that looks like the Brooklyn Bridge. Maybe we should stop looking for a bridge that looks like the San Francisco Bridge. And instead, we should start looking for a rope, a tightrope. You see, there are some bridges that don't look like bridges at all because they are so small and the line is so finite that you have to become someone you've never been before to cross that bridge. Yeah, I want to talk to you about walking on a tightrope, because I heard God telling me in my own prayer time that in order for me to move from where I am to where I am supposed to be, that it may not be as easy as just walking without having to be careful, and it may not be as easy as walking without sensitivity because there's so much infrastructure and confidence around me, that it may look like walking on a tightrope. Can you imagine what it's like to walk on a tightrope in those moments? Yes, this is a bridge, but there's so much fear and anxiety connected to this moment. And yes, I got across it anyway. When I'm innovating a new path that's never been done before, and I'm trying to do this without the degree and without the help and without the support, it's not as easy to be a bridge when you're walking on a tightrope. I want to talk to some people who are watching today who God says, I'm going to ask you to bridge something, but you're going to have to do it with a tightrope. If that's you, I want you to say, that's me, that's me, that's me. God's asking me to do this on a tightrope. The bridge to who you are supposed to become in God may look like a tightrope. The purpose that is connected to your life, the forgiveness, that wholeness, it's going to look like a tightrope. And that's why God brought this story of Samson into my mind. When Samson tells Delilah that since birth he was a Nazarite, what he's saying to us is my strength is connected to my ability to walk the tightrope of being a Nazarite. A Nazarite is an Israelite consecrated to the service of God. Under these vows, they abstain from alcohol, they let their hair grow, and they avoid defilement by contact with corpses. That's even family members or whatever. They're not able to engage with corpses. They have to allow their hair to grow. They don't celebrate the way other people celebrate. They don't cut themselves in the way other people cut themselves because they have to live on a tightrope. Samson has been living on this tightrope since birth. And his strength is connected to his ability to stay on that tightrope. Your strength, oh God, I feel it. Your strength is not going to come because someone else came and gave you something. It's not going to come because you were able to outsmart the people who are around you. I hear God saying that your ability to make it to this next dimension, your ability to walk in the favor and promises of God, your ability to shake earth up in a way that makes heaven rejoice is connected with your ability to navigate this tightrope that you have to live on. I hear God saying that you cannot defeat enemies and walk on a tightrope at the same time unless you're walking on the tightrope that God has given you. God, help me to break this down the way that you gave it to me. When we see Samson in this moment, he is confident about who he is. He is confident about the strength that he carries because he's learned to live life on a tightrope. When I think about my husband and I think about how God has blessed him, how God has transcended him from where he started to where he is now, it's what I hear at night that moves me the most. It's not the books, though I'm proud of that. It's not the messages, though they have moved me and changed my life. It's about who he said he had to become on the inside, the integrity that he had to carry on the inside. I had to learn to walk on a tightrope. I had to learn to make sure that I wasn't falling in with the same crowd that kept pulling me down. I hear God saying that you want to fit in and walk on a tightrope at the same time, and that's why nothing has moved in your life yet. But I hear God saying if you would surrender to the fact that the only way you're going to be strengthened in this season is if you learn to walk on a tightrope. I hear God saying, I do always provide, and I most certainly provide for those who are willing to sacrifice their comfort and sacrifice the way they have always done things and dare to get on the tightrope. The tightrope that says, God, this is who I am, even if I have to do it afraid. God, I'm going to make this marriage work, even if it means I have to walk on a tightrope. What does that mean? That means I communicate when I want to suppress. That means I pray when I want to be bitter. Why am I doing this? Because I got to make it to the other side. You see, as long as you have options, you may not get on a tightrope. But when you decide, God, I don't want to do anything if you're not in it. And God, I don't want to be anywhere if you're not on the other side of it. God says, but can you follow me on the tightrope? I'm thinking about the Virgin Mary when she heard that she was going to become pregnant with the Holy Spirit. In order to do that thing, in order to carry the Spirit of God, God says, you're going to have to learn to walk on a tightrope. You're going to have to hide away sometimes. You're going to have to give birth in a barn. But baby, when I tell you, I'm going to be with you. I hear God saying that what you don't understand about the tightrope is, yes, it's scary, and yes, it's lonely, and no, you don't always know if you have what it takes, but he always provides. Who is the he that I am talking about? It is the great I am who told me I'm going to be your safety net when you get on the tightrope. I'm going to make sure that it's got enough slack in it to give you breaks when you need it. I'm learning how to walk on a tightrope. When Peter had to build the church, he had to do it on a tightrope. When Moses had to save the Egyptians, when he had to save the Hebrew children from the Egyptians, he had to learn to walk on a tightrope. I'm neither Hebrew nor Egyptian, but I'm learning to walk on a tightrope. I hear God saying that you're in the world, but not of the world. What does that mean? That I'm in the world, but I'm walking on a tightrope. That I understand that my role in this world is to make sure that heaven touches earth. I wish I had some people in this chat room who would give me about 30 seconds to thank God that he's still going to be with us,
even when we get on tight ropes, that he's still going to be with us even when I lose my balance. I hear God saying, you think you're going to lose your balance if you try, so you haven't even stepped into it yet. But I hear God saying, if you would just take one step, if you would just get yourself in position, then I would allow for my grace to show up and show you how to make it the rest of the way. Some of us won't get on a tightrope because we're not sure we'll make it to the other end. God says, that's good. If you get on the tightrope, you're going to have more faith than you've ever had. You're going to pray in a way you've never prayed before. God says, you want to know how it ends, and I want to know when you're going to get started. You want to know how it's going to turn out. And I hear God saying, if you would just take a step, 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 take a step. It's going to be hard, but you got to take the step anyway. It's going to cause you to become someone you've never been before, but you got to take the step anyway. That you've got to want what God wants for you. And bad is just as bad as God wants you to have it. You've got to have what God wants for you down in your spirit so heavy that it makes you do crazy things. Like instead of falling into hustling, you decide now is the time for me to pray and center myself. Because when the gun is fired, I got to make sure I'm in position. Samson has been living on a tightrope for so long that his strength is his confidence. And yet, what this text reveals to us as though he has mastered living on a tightrope since birth, that maybe what looks like a tightrope on the outside is just his norm. That means that what would have been hard maybe when he explained it to Delilah about his strength was actually not hard for him at all because it's all he's ever known. Some of us were born on a tightrope. And we learn to live on that tightrope and to navigate that tightrope, the identity between our calling and our communities, our calling and our families. I've been living on a tightrope. I recognize that that is my distinction. That is what makes me strong. And Samson is now so confident in his ability to navigate that tightrope that he doesn't recognize the other areas of his life that are going to sabotage his strength. You see, Samson has a weakness, and this particular weakness is for women, and this woman is a part of his enemy's camp. And because Samson is so used to walking on this tightrope, he hasn't dared to evaluate the other areas of his life where he could stand to tighten up a little bit. If we was in church, I would say, tag your neighbor and say, tighten up, but since we're not in church, I want you to type it, tighten up, tighten up, tighten up. Samson needs to tighten up. You see, because one of the things that we have to learn from this, and one of the things that is important to us as we study this scripture and as we study this story, is the connection between Samson's weakness and his strength. I feel like a lot of times we compartmentalize our weakness and we think I'm weak here, but I'm strong here, and somehow that balances things out, and so we don't focus on how we need to get that weakness on a tightrope so that it can eventually become a strength. And so instead, Samson is so confident in who he is and where he is now that he thinks that he is strong enough to handle the casualties of his weakness. Have you ever been there? Where you feel like you're strong enough to handle the casualties of your weakness. Like maybe there's a toxic relationship that you know is a weakness, but you feel like you're strong enough to navigate it at arm's length. Maybe you're trying to save a certain amount of money. Maybe you're trying to build a business and you indulge in things that you know are a weakness, but you feel like you're strong enough to handle that weakness at arm's length. That's what happens when we see Samson in this text. He's learned to walk the tightrope, but he hasn't dissected the other areas of his life that need to come into submission to that level of discipline. And because he has failed to do that, his weakness is now sabotaging his strength. That's somebody's word right there.
You're compartmentalizing your weaknesses, but what you need to understand is that your weakness is going to sabotage the area of your strength. That it's not just going to be separated. That if you become so comfortable with a weakness that has become unaddressed, that God is not going to allow you to just continue to keep flirting with your enemy while he's also trying to raise you up to be something that's different than what you've seen before. Samson's greatest issue here is not that he's a Nazirite. His greatest issue is not that he's had to walk on a tightrope. His greatest issue in this moment is that he hasn't dissected the other areas of his life that need to come into submission. Your weakness is going to sabotage your strength. What I wrote in my notes when I was studying is you cannot flirt with the behavior patterns, rhythms that you're trying to kill. That you can't be trying to kill it and flirt with it at the same time. That you can't come to a place where you think that you have your weaknesses under such control that you don't understand that it's going to sabotage your strength. So to overcome his weakness, Samson would have to get on a different type of tightrope, and this tightrope may require him to be lonely. This tightrope may require him to have his confidence in something other than who he slept with. And because Samson did not get on that tightrope, he became known for his weakness instead of his strength. Family, if I could talk to you for a minute, what I would say to you is this. No matter how well we master walking on one tightrope, it doesn't mean that we have mastered every area of our life that needs to come into submission. The bridge to get to who we are, to where we want to become in God, it may look like a tightrope in some seasons. And when we master it, we have to be willing to look back and say, God, now what is the next area? Maybe it was my wisdom in one season. Now it's my discipline in another season. Maybe it was my discipline and now it's my integrity. But I am constantly looking for areas of my life where my weakness is going to sabotage my strength. Sometimes we feel like the sabotage is going to come outside of us, and we talk about our haters and we talk about someone who's sleeping on us, and we're talking about someone who doesn't understand just how incredible we are, or someone who was so jealous and envious of who we are. But what we need to recognize is that the greatest enemy is not outside of us. The greatest enemy is the weakness that is unchecked on the inside of us. And until we are willing to examine ourselves and say, what are my own patterns? What are my own thoughts? What are my own fears? What are my own insecurities that are going to sabotage my strength? Then we're going to be looking outside of us when the real enemy, the real culprit, is inside of us. Samson is forced to take this look on the inside of him because his weakness is now what he's known for. Because when the Philistines finally attack him and figure out the secret to his strength, they take his eyes away. They strip him down to nothing. They cut his hair off. And now he is less than just any other man. Now he has handicaps that have made him almost useless in their eyes. And yet what they didn't know that we know is that God can start from anywhere. Remember when I was talking earlier about making choices that lead you to a place that you don't always like? That's exactly where we find Samson in verse 28 as this text continues. His choices have led him to a place that he doesn't even like, that he doesn't even understand. He didn't recognize that his weakness was sabotaging his strength, and now he's wishing maybe that he could get back on that tightrope and that he could live his life differently. And what we know now, though, is that God will never leave you nor forsake you, but Samson in that moment had to do something crazy. Samson in that moment had to do something that maybe some of you are going to do when we're about to pray. He had to call out from God. God from the place of his weakness. You see, what the Philistines thought is that if they cut his hair, that he wouldn't be strong anymore. But what they didn't realize is that even when they cut his hair, that God was going to grow his hair back. Our text tells us in between verse 16 and verse 28 that though they cut his hair, that his hair started growing back. They were beating him in chains and they stripped his eyes out, but his hair started growing back. What is the word of the Lord in that moment? The word of the Lord in that moment is that even when life is tearing you up, even when your decisions have put you in a position that feels like defeat, that at the end of the day, your hair, your strength is still going to grow back. I need somebody to know that you are not still here because God wants to display what you could have had. You are not still here so that God can show you how if you would have done things differently, this could have been you. God is not interested in making you be a participant in the museum of the highlights of other people's life. God wants to show you that if you are still here, then something can still grow on the inside of you. And if something can still grow on the inside of you, it may start off looking like a tightrope, but when it's all said and done, you'll become a bridge again. You'll defeat the enemies again. You'll be looking like who I thought you were in the first place again. I hear God saying that somebody's strength is coming back to you. I know 2020 was hard on you. I know 2021 may have not started off the way that you wanted to, but I hear God saying your strength is coming back to you. What is your strength? Your strength is the confidence that I am going to be with you. Your strength is the confidence that I have not departed from you. And in verse 28, we hear Samson say, oh, Lord God, remember me. Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray. Somebody needs to get in their prayer closet and just start saying, God, remember me. God, remember when I used to be your servant. God, remember when I used to carry your joy. God, remember when I used to feel anointed. God, remember when I walked into a room and I knew who I was when I was in the room. God, remember when the checks didn't define me. God, remember when the bank account didn't define me. Samson cries out to the Lord. God, remember me, I pray. And strengthen me, I pray. Just once he asked God for. I don't need you to do it over and over again. If you could just provide your strength just one time. If you would just provide your strength just one time, because I got one more devil to fight. Samson's hair is cut off. Samson's eyes have been plucked out. But he said, God, if you would remember me in my weakness, if you would give me strength in the place that I am weak, I understand. What I didn't understand then, what Samson didn't understand before this moment, is that he and God were not on the same page about the enemy he had given him to defeat. Because Samson was still flirting with the enemy he was supposed to defeat. And sometimes your enemy has to capture you. And sometimes your enemy has to change the way you show up in the world for you to finally get on the same page with God about what this enemy is. Samson is showing up in this moment differently than he showed up before, because now the Philistines mean the same thing to him that they meant to God. I hear God saying that your breakthrough, that your ability to break away from this thing is going to be connected to you hating it the way that I hate it. I hear God saying we got to have common enemies. When we have common enemies, that's how I know we're really in relationship. It ain't nothing like having a friend who understands that we don't fool with that person. I hear God saying that you need to get on the same page with me. We don't fool with that anymore. We don't fool with regret. We don't fool with shame. That's an enemy to who I've called you to be. We don't fool with shame. That's an enemy to who I've called you to be. I hear God saying, when you get on the same page with me about your enemy, you'll find the way to navigate this captivity. And Samson says, you got to read it, Judge 16, 28 through 30. He says, Lord God, remember me, I pray, strengthen me, I pray just this once, oh God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson, he took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them. I hear God saying that's what's going to happen for some of us in 2021. That some of us came into this year limping. We came into this year unclear.
But I hear God saying that I can still use you limping. I can still use you grieving. I can still use you broken. I can still use you with your mind fuzzy. I hear God saying, just let me show you how to walk on this tightrope. Let me show you how to navigate this dark season. Let me show you how to navigate the unknown. Let me show you how to navigate this business, how to navigate this marriage. And he put his two hands on those pillars. And he braced himself against them, one on his right hand and one on his left. And he pushed those pillars down. And in that moment, he defeated more Philistines than he had defeated in his entire lifetime. But it was because he finally got on the same page with God about who his enemy is and who his enemy is not. Even in the middle of his weakness, God still made a way for him to become who he was supposed to be in God. And it didn't look as powerful as it looked before. This wasn't one of those big, beautiful bridges. It was a tightrope. And God used it anyway. I want to pray with you. Perhaps as we've been sharing this time with each other, you've been feeling convicted. Maybe it's been confirmation that it's time for me to stop playing. It's time for me to finally get to a place where I'm willing to undergo the uncertainty, the instability, the lack of confidence connected with who I need to be in God. You see, I'm going to get to that place of confidence. I may not get there overnight. I may not become that boss overnight. I may not get there the way that I want to, as rapidly as I want to, but it's time for me to first shed the skin of the old so that I can walk into the new. And I hear God saying, it's okay for the journey to be scary. It's okay for it to even feel like a tightrope. But a tightrope can still serve as a bridge. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for those of us who have decided that I'm going to navigate this tightrope. I'm going to do it for my family. I'm going to do it for my community. I'm going to do it for my God. I'm going to get on this tightrope, and yes, sometimes I may lose my balance, and yes, sometimes it may be hard. Sometimes I may have to pause. Sometimes I may have to start over again, but it is so important to me that I finally get to this destination of who God has been hinting at me that I could always become. God's going to give you strength, just like he gave Samson in that moment. He's going to give you peace. He's going to show you how to navigate your weaknesses and how to master your strength. God's already got a plan. He's just waiting on you to begin. Father, I thank you that your word will not return unto you void. That means that even as I was speaking, Father, that someone was saying, that's my word, that's my word, that's my word. Father, it is my prayer that every person who reached up and grabbed this word, that they would hold on to this word as their truth and their confidence, and that this would be the word that propels them to finally get started. God, it is my prayer that we would start moving, even if we have to do it at a slow pace, that we would begin moving in the direction of who you have in mind. Father, where there is loneliness, let there be wholeness. Father, where there is brokenness, let there be healing. Father, where there is pain, let us have restoration. Father, where there is grief, let it become love, and let us live in the space of love. Father, it is my prayer that whatever is necessary for us to become, that we would be willing to sacrifice and surrender so that we may manifest not our vision, not our desires, but your peace, your presence, your power. Father, we want to be vessels. We want to be an extension of what you're doing in the earth. As unworthy as we are, as broken as we are, it is still our desire to serve what you're doing in the earth. And so, Father, if we are the only way that heaven can touch earth, give us room. Give us capacity and give us wisdom to navigate that tightrope. Father, forgive us for making choices that we know were leading us to a lesser version of ourselves. We repent. We change our way of thinking. We won't flirt with our enemy or flirt with our dangers anymore. Instead, Father, we will take the hard, hard road of saying goodbye to what hurts us but feels good, and instead elect to be uncomfortable in pursuit of your glory and your grace. Father, we have sinned, we have fallen short, but we are still here, so we repent. We ask that you would forgive us as we come into alignment, Father. Give us peace, give us connection with people on the same road, and allow us to continue to grow and grow and grow, that we may become bridges because we first became tightropes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Family, I love you so much. If this is your word or you feel like someone else needs to hear it, make sure you share it. I believe together and in the context of community that we're going to not just become bridges, but we're going to become bridges that create bridges, just like PT has been telling us. And so let's continue to be those bridges by sharing this word, praying with one another. You don't know it, but you're chatting with your family. You're chatting with your next of kin. And together we're going to look back and say, God, not only were you were providing, you were building us up in the process. I cannot wait to see you Saturday, Sunday, Thursday. You know where to find us. We'll be right here. You can count on the Potter's House 1LA in Denver to be with you every step of the way.
Amen, amen. A wonderful word from two powerful women of God. Remember, the Overcomer Scripture is Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God is not concerned about what you did last night, nor this morning. He still loves you. All he wants is a yes. Once you surrender your life to Christ, he's right there. He never left you. He's always been there. But now if you said yes to God, the enemy is going to fight you even harder. Let me give you three keys that you need to use. First, get you a Bible, whether it's King James or NIV. Find you a church home, ready to go online or visit. If you visit, please mess up and sanitize your hands because it's still an enemy out there trying to take your life. You're definitely welcome to join us at the Abba House International on Facebook at the Abba House. And make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is not only preaching the word, but they are teaching the word, walking the word. It must line up. What they're teaching and they're walking must line up. Remember, get you a Bible, King James or NIV, find your church home, and make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is walking what they're preaching. Remember, we're always here if you need us. 563-999-3628 if you have any questions. If you need any blessed oil, you can text Apostle and I or 832-519-7646. We are here to encourage, inspire, and uplift you. You guys have a blessed and phenomenal day. Know that God loves you, and so do we.
Donna Lawrence and the Tri-City Singers featuring that girl, Leandria Johnson.
Listen, when a person becomes a believer, their spirit is made right. But sometimes the heart rim, the soul rim, the mind rim is a little slow getting the message because life has left a hole in it due to molestation, low self-esteem, abuse. But I came to tell you that God has come to heal the hole in your soul. My sister Leandria is going to help me with this story. Take your time, sister. Sing it for somebody.
Deliver me.
Rescue me from myself.
All I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody overthink a lot? Overthink a lot. That hurts you.
Hurt me.
That's right. Now let's take it up and cry out. Say. Yes, sir.
Deliver me.
Take your time.
Because all I seem to do is hurt me.
Anybody out there got that message?
Yeah.
Hurt
me.
We should be finishing it, but I need you to just say it one more time.
Yeah.
city and my background family. Say it again, hold up. Rescue me from myself, from my overthinking. That's right, Now let's take it up, choir. Let's take it up. We're singing this for somebody. Get down on your knees and just say, if my people who are called by my name would just sometimes get back down on your knees and pray and say, oh, this, anybody got it? Do I have a witness out there? Anybody need deliverance from yourself, from your overthinking? All right, this is it. I'm going to let you take it out, Leandria. Go ahead and talk. Say thank you, Lord. Sometimes we got to get on our knees and just say, God, rescue me from myself. The best is still yet to come for you. This is your exodus starting right now at this very moment. This is it. This is it. One more time, choir. One more time. This is. Take it up there. This is. If you know it. Here we go. This is.